All right. Is anybody positive this morning? Anybody? I just like, oh boy. I tell you, I'm excited. Maybe you guys might not be, but I'm excited. We had a great vacation private school. I love this church. And it's not the building. I mean, I'm so blessed to have this building. We are so blessed. Especially this week, it was hot. I remember vacation Bible school in the old blue church with a swamp cooler is what we had in the old blue. Anybody remember those days? Not, you know, and it was really rough. So I'm really thankful for this, but I'm thankful for you guys. You need to understand, had a great vacation Bible school. We had about 19 kids either made a decision or reaffirmed their faith in Jesus Christ, okay? You need to know that. That was great. They brought an offering, and they somewhere around about $180 is what I understand for Jeannie Love, that little girl in Haiti that we're going to send down that way. And you guys, it really makes it kind of special to be a part of what God's doing. And so I'm just thankful for you guys and what you do and what we do as a church to make a difference. And I'm in this series because it's like, I don't know about you, but I'm tired today. Anybody else tired today? I'm just kind of like, you know, I really am, you know, and I did. I was worried about yesterday. I had some plans. Unfortunately, they changed, so I got to kind of lay around, although I had to run around a little bit yesterday. And then this morning's message comes around. It's got a really inspiring title. Look at your little outline there. Anybody see that little outline you got there? The title? Isn't that a good title for today? You know, enthusiastic, all right? I want to talk. You guys seem kind of, I'm not very enthusiastic today. Well, let me tell you something. By the end of the service, you're going to have to be enthused because we're going to do our VBS song with all its movements. And that includes all of you, okay? So by the time I get done, I'm hoping you're going to be enthusiastic about Vacation Bible School and about God and what God is up to. Because it's hard to stay positive. It's hard to stay up and enthusiastic when you got a long week. Anybody, you know, those long weeks? You know, things always going on, things always happen. And then you go out in the world, and the world is so negative and everything, you know, and then 104 degrees out there, and it's like, you're just dripping wet, you know. And how do you stay enthusiastic, you know? And how do we deal with enthusiasm? And yet we're called to be enthusiastic. You know, now, I'm reading a book right now called EQ. I like reading, and I'm reading a book called EQ. What it says is this, emotional quotient. You know, it's really interesting. You know, we think IQ is a great test and the great testimony of how successful you're going to be. It's not. The IQ test is not a predictor of your success. It's really amazing to read these stories. It's your EQ that's a predictor of your success. It's your emotional quotient. Because some of us are born more outgoing. I am a positive person. Anybody ever notice that? You know, I'm always positive. Things are good. The glass is half full. It's a quarter full. Things are going to go better. Things are going to get better. I'm always, you know, I'm just a positive person. And I have a friend and some friends that are just the opposite. Really the opposite, okay? You know, is the sun coming up tomorrow? I'm not so sure. That opposite, all right? You know, and we have these two things. And I'm reading this book and it's going, sometimes we are born that way. We are born with a personality. And some of us, it has this frontal lobe stuff I'm reading. It's really fun to read the book. It's about your frontal lobe and your medulla oblongata thing, or however you say that back there, you know. And it has all this stuff. And they say there is a difference. You are born different. But you are not predicted to be that way or to have to stay that way. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. You know, it's not our heredity that makes us enthusiastic. It's not my environment that makes me enthusiastic. What is it that makes me enthusiastic? What is it that brings excitement? What is it that lifts me up? What is it that speaks to me? And I want us to think about that this morning, because here's what I want you to know. Where does the word enthusiasm come from? You got a little outline there. And I want you to see this. Look at where that little word enthusiasm. It means in God. That's exactly what it meant. En is in, and theos is God. It literally means filled with God. Enthusiasm means you're filled with God. There's just some bubbling up in you. And it's fun to read God's word. And here's something that I've known. Anytime you read that God's filled something up, you know what it says? It never says he filled something up. I challenge you to read the God where God says he filled something. He says it overflowed. Go read Psalms 23. You anoint our head and what? It overflows. He did this and anointed them and the joy overflowed. There's always an overflowing. That's God has filled us up. We're filled with God. That's where enthusiasm comes from. It's not going to come from, well, I was born enthusiastic. Yes, I was. What's interesting, I'm reading the book, it says you can change that. Did you know that? Even when you're born a little more not enthusiastic, I don't want to put you down and say you're pessimistic, but you know, even when you're born, like it says you can change that. That it's, you know, these brain tunnels and all this kind of stuff in there, and it describes all these kinds of things. The bad thing about it, the book is not a Christian book, so it doesn't talk about God. Because I look at my life, you know, I think about my life, and I was a shy kid. I remember sixth grade giving my speech. Anybody remember their sixth grade speech? You may have to do a speech in sixth grade. Anybody remember those sixth grade speech? I dreaded that day. I wanted to get sick that day. You know, take the thermometer, rub it on my pants. Mom! You know, did anybody do that besides me? Come on now, be honest with yourselves. You know, you know. I didn't want to go there. You know, I remember, you know, that's the speech I remember. Then I remember I had to give a speech in high school. You know, it was Bible lit class. I had just become a Christian, and I had to do a speech. You know, and I hated to get in front of people. You know, and now, you know, it's like, I don't care. I was telling somebody this morning, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth somewhere during the message, okay? You know, it's just, I can't worry about that anymore. I don't, you know. I'm getting up, this is who I am, and this is what you're getting. Good luck for you guys, all right? You know? But there was this change, and I believe that is because God, and he changed me. You know? Like I say, I remember my first sermon. You guys would love it. You guys would love my first sermon. I worked on this message. I fine-tuned this message. Never been in front of people. Never did anything in front of the church. And I work on this message. I got a 30-minute message all worked out. You know, practiced and rehearsed and ready to give the message. And so that Sunday night, I walk into the church. I walk up. The pastor invites me. I deliver my message. That 30-minute message went 10 minutes. You guys would love that one, wouldn't you? You know, crying halfway through, you know, grandma comes running down the aisle shouting in a Baptist church, hallelujah, you know, and, you know. But now, see, God changes those things. When you're filled with God, something happens. Just so you know, I'll give you a little hint. We're going to be doing a series of messages pretty soon called the Holy Spirit. We're going to call it Paraclete. Don't you like that word? It's not a parakeet. It's a paraclete. And it's going to be the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a series of messages on that next time we finish this series. But when God fills you, there's something about that enthusiasm. There's something about the excitement. There's something that God is doing. And that's what I want us to think about in our lives. Here's a little passage as Paul wrote here. Because as we live life, this world is not enthusiastic. It's a very negative world. I don't know about you, but you get up and you look at the temperature and it says 106 today. And you're going, uh-huh. Isn't that enthusiastic, right? You know, it's like, oh, man, I'll just stay home, right? But listen to what it says. But thank God. Why don't you circle that? Because this is what makes a difference in your life. You want to be enthusiastic, but thank God. You want to change. You want to kind of come back to the joy and have something in your life, but thank God. Listen to what he says. But thank God. Now why? Now why can I thank God? He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you find a better reason than that to be enthusiastic? I am saved. I am going to heaven. I am on my way to eternity with God in his presence. Isn't that a good, isn't that, you know. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it just okay. No, that you can have it abundantly. You know, this is why, you know, I can, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, immovable, always work enthusiastically. For the Lord your God, for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Why? Why can I be enthusiastic? Why? Because I am saved and whatever I do for God is never a waste. Anybody feel you're wasting your time? You know, you feel it's just, you know, I'm just, well, when you do something for God, it's never a waste. I had a great time in Vacation Bible School. You need to know, I love Vacation Bibles. You know, the kids, they come in excited. You don't think so. You watch them run around, and we haven't even given them candy yet, and they're already hyper. You know? And it's fun when the kids come in and they enjoy it. And then the parents bring the kids in. You say, thank you for bringing your child. And they're going, no, the kid wanted to be here, you know. And they're thanking us for having it. And there's just something. You know, how many had a great time in VBS? How many here had a great? See, look, you know. You know, it's fun. Even out of your comfort zone. I did something I would never think I would do. Anybody do something you never thought you'd do in Vacation Bible School? Man, you guys did everything. Oh, man, you guys are good. You know, sometimes we get out of our comfort zones, you know, but there's something about this I'm into. Now, here's what I make sure. Whatever you do, make sure you understand that. Look at what it says in Colossians, as Paul wrote there to the church. Whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as though you're working for the real, for your real master and not merely for humans. Whatever you do, whatever. If you're mowing your yard, I got to go mow my yard this evening, late evening, when it cools down, hopefully, you know. I got to mow my yard as for the Lord. Anybody on board with that one? Thank you, Lord, for the heat. You know? Whatever you do, you're a teacher. You're a teller. You're a worker. You're a stay-home mom raising kids. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. Whatever it is, you do it for the Lord. Everything different. You know? I have a master's degree. I'm working on my doctorate degree, and I am at Laura's uncle's yard. He's got 5 acres outside of Galt and these places up there, and I'm shoveling horse manure. I got a master's degree, and I'm shoveling horse manure. The horse always went in this one place, and he says, you got to go out there and scatter it. Okay. Yeah. So you're out there with a shovel, scattering. Oh boy, I gotta watch what word I say. I told you I'd make a mistake. I'm shoveling that horse manure everywhere. You know? But I'm doing it for the. You know what's good about that? I'm shoveling it, but I don't have to think about what I'm shoveling. I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking about what God is doing. I'm thinking about, you know what? I'm raising money for my kids to go to Washington, D.C. Yes, Lord. You know, they wanted some money to go on the trip. I had to earn some extra money, so Laura's uncle gave me opportunities. You know, that's a blessing from God, isn't it? And so whatever you do, you can do it enthusiastically, and we need to do it. And it's something that's within us, the mundane, the difficult, the fun stuff, the drudgery stuff, whatever it is, you can do it with enthusiasm. Because I'm not doing this for anybody. I'm doing this for God. Have you ever wondered when you went to work, why am I doing this for him? Anybody ever say anything like that? Why am I doing this for my boss? He's a jerk. You know? Or how about why am I doing this for my spouse? She doesn't deserve it, right? Come on. You know? You serve your spouse, that's to the Lord. Come on, am I right? You know, and so we need, whatever we do, we got to do it for, but how do we do that? You know, how can I do that? You know, for me, like I say, I'm one of these, I'm enjoying reading this book. The problem is it's almost a 400-page book, you know, and I'm enjoying reading it because it's talking about all these different dynamics, but I'm born this way. Some of you aren't, you know, how do you deal with this? Well, it's that relationship with God that makes a difference. It's what we do with the God. I want to look at David. Now, we did our 40-day study in David, and that was great. But the picture with David and Goliath is a great picture, and I want to give you that as David and how it played out in David's life. And listen to what it says here. As you know the story, remember David and Goliath and the Philistines on one hill and the Israelites on the other hill and Goliath out there, you know. Whoever wins this battle, I'll take anybody on. Whoever wants to take me on, come on down and take me on. And Israel's sitting there and nobody's moving. No enthusiasm whatsoever, all right? You know, a lot of pessimism up there. Who wants to face this? You know, and here's little old David, the shepherd boy, the kid. You know, and it's like, hey, I'll go face him. Look at what it says. Then David said to the Philistine, he's out there face to face. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. I want you to think about this for a minute. You walk out into the world, and you can say to the world, you come to me negative, neglectful, hateful, evil, after me, attacking me, pulling me down, tearing me apart. The world comes at me, But I come out, how? In the Lord. Does that make a difference? Do you see David here? You know? You're coming at me with all this negativity. You're coming at me with all this neglect. You're coming at me with all this stuff. But I'm positive because I'm coming out with you in the Lord. You see that picture there? This day. Now, I love this. Now, I want you to get a picture of a little 14-year-old boy, okay? I don't know how old he is, but he's just a young teenage boy telling this story. Can you imagine? This day the Lord will deliver into my hand. Now listen. And I will strike you down and cut off your head. Can you see this little boy saying that? It's like, man, I got that. I'm going to come out and I'm going to strike you down. I'm going to chop your head off. And I'm going to dance on your dead body. You know, cut off your, I will give the dead bodies to the host of the Philistines this day, to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God. Can you see this little boy just that, all that enthusiasm? You know, I've got this. This is mine, man. I'm tearing you up, buddy. You're dead meat. You're walking dead. And I'm going to chop your head off. I can just see, can you see the enthusiasm with this kid? You know, it's like, man, this is over. You're dead meat. And I'm going to take you out. And I'm going to let the birds feed on you. And I'm going to let that bear eat you. And the wolves and the tiger, they're just going to feed on you. You are done, man. He hasn't even done anything yet. He's just sitting there looking at this guy. Hey, you're dead meat. Can you, I mean, think about this. You know, here's this young kid. How can he do that? How can a 14-year-old boy come out so bleak, so enthusiastically to stand there, probably this tall, for the 9-foot guy, and say, hey, you're dead. You see your head? You're going to lose it in just a minute. You know? Think, how can you do this? I'm going to give you three things that David had, real quick, okay? Three things that David had. First, he trusted God. He walked with God. And he worshiped God. But we're going to talk about each of these separately. All right? He trusted God. When he stood face to face with Goliath, he was standing there not in his power, not in his strength. He was going to fight this battle on who? In the Lord. It was God's battle. It wasn't his. It's God's battle. And he's trusting God. He put his faith in God. Our enthusiasm doesn't come from within. It comes from God when we trust him. And David is standing there. But he worked up to this point. Look at what it says here. Part of that story of Goliath. He goes before the king, and the king is saying, you can't fight the giant. You know, he's too big. You're just a child. You go out there. And here's what David says. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. He's saying, God has been with me. I've killed lions. I've killed bears. They've tried to steal sheep. They've tried to destroy my sheep. They tried to eat my sheep. That lion out there, I took him out. I took him out. That bear out there, I took him out. Because this is God's battle. This isn't ours. This isn't yours. This isn't mine. It's God's battle. I'm going to tell you, your life is God's life. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's not your battle. It's not your battle. That 104 temperature out there, that evil person, that put down that comes out there, it's not your battle. It's God's battle. David had this faith in God. You know, God, you did it then. You'll do it again. God, you I'm trusting you, God. You've always done it. I took out that lion the other day. You know, I killed that bear a year ago. God, this Philistine, he's dead meat because it's God's battle. So if you want to have this enthusiasm, it's coming because when you trust in God daily, you know, you got that faith in God that God's going to move mountains. Can God move mountains? God answer prayers? See, we need to see this in our lives. So we need to understand that we trust God daily. God, you've got this. You're going to move this day. You're going to do something this day. And the second one I put down there is he walked with God daily. All right? It wasn't like, well, I went to church today, I'm okay. Check it off. You know? No, if you're gonna deal with life in this world and you're gonna face this world, I mean, John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Am I right? Steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. Is that true? But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You guys are good. You know it. You know, but that comes when you're walking with God. You're with God. You know, as I was writing the message, I thought about this. You know, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, remember Adam and Eve had messed up? Anybody know the story? You know, Adam and Eve had messed up and had did something God had asked them not to do, and it screwed everything up. And it says they heard God walking in the garden. How did they know God was walking in the garden? Because they had usually been walking with him. Am I right? So they recognize that God's there. See, David's walking with God. I chose the 23rd Psalms as a picture of this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have nothing I need. He lets me rest in green pasture. He leads me beside calm waters. You know, he's saying, I'm walking with God, man. He's going to let me rest. He's going to lift me up. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, he's with me. I mean, you can go on and read that whole 23rd Psalms. And God is there. He's walking with God. If you're going to walk through this world, I'm going to tell you, would walking with God make a difference? Can that change the pessimism? Can that change the neglect? Can that change the regret? Can that change the put-downs? Can that change all the negative stuff going on in our world? Can walking with God change that? And this is a picture we have here. David is sitting there saying, listen, I'm walking with God, man. He's my shepherd, man. He's walking right by. He's guiding me. He's caring for me. He's picking me up. He's carrying me. He's anointing my wounds. He's making sure I have food to eat and water to drink. You see the picture of walking with God? See, when you walk with God daily, you can face this world and stay positive because you can be enthusiastic when you're walking with God. And we need to see this in our lives. And we, you know, yes, I'm trusting God. And yes, I'm walking with God. And the last one I put down there is he's worshiping God. All right. He's worshiping God. I read the verse, right? Okay, yeah, he's worshiping God. It's not enough just to say, well, I know God. I know who God is. God says he wants us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our might. Isn't that true? He's saying, I want you to worship me. He deserves it. He created us. He formed us. He blessed you. He just wants you to acknowledge that. That's all worship is acknowledge that he's God. And that's that challenge that he has for us. And there's a great picture of it in Samuel and David's life again. They had the Ark of the Covenant. Anybody ever seen Indiana Jones and the Ark? Anybody ever seen that one? Well, that's kind of a portrayal of the Ark. You know, I don't know if that's what it looked like, but yeah, they had an Ark, you know, and that was a symbol of God's presence, all right? That you know, that was an image for them to turn to God. Like we have a cross, okay? That's kind of our image. You know, we see this, and when you see the cross, what do you think of? You know, you think of Jesus. You think of God. Well, they had the Ark of the Covenant, and that was that symbol for them. And not come to Jerusalem, and so David had become king, and he united the kingdom, and he's now the great king of Israel, and he's calling the people together. So he says, let's get the Ark back to Jerusalem. Let's get the presence of God. Let's get that symbol of the presence of God back to Jerusalem. So he calls this ark back. And so they bring it back. And here's what happened. Then David danced with all his might before the Lord. Is it okay to dance? We're Baptists. Can you dance? David did, so yes, we can. Yeah. I was worried when I came to the church and my daughter in sixth grade over here at the school becomes head of this dance committee for the sixth grade dance. Like, I'm the pastor. Hope that's okay. Yeah. But David danced before the Lord. He was worshiping God. He's exalting God. He had a holy on vest, a holy lean linen vest. Boy, I got to watch my words this morning. He had a whole lean linen vest. I'll make it yet. Worshiping God, man, he's exalting God. I'm going to tell you, if you just come to church on Sunday morning, you're going to miss out on God. Yeah. I really believe you come in and God moves something and God moves you. It might be something, one of the songs that the worship team led us in this morning that spoke to your heart. And it might be a scripture that I share. It might be a point in the message that hit click for you. It might be on the way to church you heard a song on the radio that just picked you up. But in worshiping God, something happened. God moves and things happen. So you got to trust God. You got to walk with God and you have to worship God. That's what David was doing. And it made a difference in his life. And so I want to encourage us with this. You know, When you walk with God, you can see God do it. When you pray and God answers those prayers, you begin to trust God and you begin to see the hand of God in your life. And when you invite somebody to church and they show up, that isn't that encouraging? And you just see God's move. And Vacation Bible School, we had over 100 and some odd people in here Friday night for family night for Vacation Bible School. You know, families, and some of them don't go to church anywhere, and some already have other churches, and we have this, and it's exciting to be a part of that. But see, here's the challenge. What happens? Well, let me ask you this. Has that enthusiasm faded in your life? I want you to kind of, we're going to look at David at two sections of David's life. And I want you to think about this for a few moments now as we wrap up the message. I want you to think along this line. How's your enthusiasm with the Lord? Where's it at? Well, I had to come to church today, right? You had to come. You know, your spouse made you. You know. Well, I had to be here. I'm the preacher. You know, I wanted to sleep. And I woke up and it's like, I want to go to sleep. You know? How do we do this? How? And so there's two sections in David's life that's really kind of paint a picture for us, okay? Because first time, you know, we've kind of looked at this with David as a teenage boy, you know, as a child. He comes out to face Goliath. You know, his brothers and all of them are standing there. Nobody wants to go out. Goliath's, you know, several days it went on. You get a picture of several days this goes on. And David volunteers, and, you know, they kind of go all through that rigmarole of putting armor on, and not, they can't figure all this out. David just picks up a couple of rocks. And I want you to see what he does. Look at what it says. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran. Why don't you circle that? David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit Goliath in the forehead. The stone, again, I love this. The stone sank in. I like that. And Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. I want you to see this picture. He's walked with God. He's trusted God. He's worshiped God. And now it's time to fight the battle. And he runs to the battle. He didn't wait for Goliath to get near him. He didn't wait for Goliath to make a move. He just got his slingshot and he's just running right at Goliath. And it's like, you're dead, man. You're dead, man. And going right at him. He ran. With it. He didn't wait. He didn't stroll. He didn't just kind of mellow around trying to figure out what to do. He ran to battle. Anybody remember when you first got saved? Anybody remember when you first became a child of God? Maybe you're not a child. Maybe you'll experience this. You know, that enthusiasm, that excitement. You know, there's just something about that, you know, and you see God moving and you get excited. You know, you go to a Christian conference, you go to a Christian concert, you know, you go to, you know, a pastor's meeting or whatever, and all of a sudden you just get pumped up. Anybody had those mountain high experiences with God? You know, and it's just something God moves, you know, and it's just, that's David. He ran to this, man. He's flying, man. He's excited. Some years pass, okay? You know, many years pass. All right, he's finally the king of Israel. God had anointed him as a young child to be the king, and now he is the king. He is the king of Israel. He united the kingdom. God had moved great things. Here was this divided kingdom, these 12 different tribes and all sorts of stuff going on. And David comes in and pulls it all together under God, unites this kingdom. All right, now wouldn't it be an exciting time? But here's what happened. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Amorites. Why don't you say, in the spring? In the spring, when kings normally go out to battle, when kings are supposed to go out to battle, David is sitting in the comfort of his palace. David is reclining in the beauty of all that he has done. Probably the glory. Look at all I've been able to accomplish. Look at all that I have. Look at all the worldly comforts and all the things that I've accumulated. Man, God bless me. God is so good. I can just kick back. You guys go out and fight the battle for me, Joab. Take the army. Go out there. God's got this. You just take care of it now. And he sends him out. He's a little bit different. Is it a little bit different than when he ran to battle? Look at what goes on. They destroyed the Amorites' army and laid siege to the city of Reba. However, oh boy, that's not good. Anytime you get a however, it's like a but. You got to pay attention. David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, took a nap. You know, think about this. He's living in the palace, got all the comforts, took a siesta in the middle of the afternoon. Things are going good, man. Life is great. David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of his palace. As he looked out over, looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusually beauty taking a bath. Problem. Issue here. You know, it's like, hey, whoa, you know. Let me tell you, when you're where you're not supposed to be, you're going to see things you're not supposed to see. Anybody? When you're doing things you're not supposed to do, you're going to be where you're not supposed to be. Anybody see this, what I'm talking about? When you're thinking things you shouldn't be thinking, you're going to do things you shouldn't be doing. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Here's a guy who was on fire, who ran to the battle. And it's God's battle. It's God's war. It's mine. Your head is coming off, brother. Woo! And that's it. Years later, life is good. Let me sit here in my recliner. Let me kick back, prop my feet up, turn the boob tube on. We'll watch a little football, baseball, you know, watch some soap operas. I don't know, whatever you got, you know, History Channel for me, you know. I'll just kick back and sit in the comfort, you know. Hey, you guys go take care of all that. You guys deal with all of that. See, David just let it go. Do we ever cool down? What happened? And so I wrote it this way. If you get your outline, I went with this. With enthusiasm, David ran into the battle to serve God. With enthusiasm, he ran about. This is a teenage boy. I've got this, man. Your head is mine. Literally mine. Yeah. But then it says, with apathy, David walked on the roof to serve his comfort. Any of us just strolling through life right now? I was hot for God, you know. I was involved in the church. I was reading my Bible daily. You know, I was praying. You know, I was in all group. I was, you know, and God. But now? Anybody? How about this? Anybody just hanging on to life with the fingernails? Anybody? You're just kind of trying to hang on to life, you know. Life is just, it's so negative and it's just so horrible, and every time you turn around it's something else, and you just can't seem to get a handle on it. You just can't seem to get ahead, and nothing's ever working out, whether finances or home or children or whatever it is, and you're just trying to cling on, and it's anybody know what I'm talking about? See, David was kind of, you know, I'm comfortable. It's interesting. You know, they talk about church attendance being down, you know, and what the studies are saying, church attendance isn't really down. We still have the same number of people, but here's the problem. Used to be, see, now, when I grew up, regular attendance of church, when I started going to church in the 70s, if you're a regular attendant, that means you came to church when? Every Sunday. The 80s roll around, you become a regular attendant if you came 3 times a month. We're in the 2000s now. You know what's considered regular? If I come twice a month, I'm regular. Yeah. I'm going to be on fire for God coming twice a week. How many of you can eat twice a week and survive? How many of us need to eat twice a week? Yeah. See, how can I walk with God and not? How can I worship God? How can I trust God? See, what happened? You ever think about that? You look at your life and you're going, what happened to me? I can just see David. I could just see David. You know, what happened to me? What went wrong? You know, Jesus kind of describes this, okay? Just don't book of Revelation, that last book in the Bible. There's 7 churches in there at the very beginning, the first 4 chapters. He wrote this about one of the churches. And see if it kind of talks about some of us today. But I have this complaint against you. This is Jesus. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the work you did at first. You see the picture? Have we kind of lost? I'm not as happy. I'm not as joyful. Church, God, it's just what I have to do. It's what I do. And, it's Sunday and, I want to sleep in. And anybody know what I'm talking about? That love, that joy. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. And you couldn't wait to tell somebody. Anybody remember those days? You couldn't wait to get home and tell somebody, what I heard? You know what I seen? My prayer was that. Anybody remember those days when you could talk about that? Anybody? And now it's just kind of like, it's routine. It's habit. Well, see, the problem is sometimes we lose that first love. We get busy, we get comfortable. David, here's this young man, everything, and then all of a sudden it's just going to relax. You guys go out and take care of it. I know somebody has to take care of the children in children's church. Thank you, God, for them. But, God, let somebody else do that. God, I know somebody sits with my baby in the nursery, God, and loves on my baby and teaches them about the love of God. God, thank you for somebody doing that. But, God, that... Like I said, I love vacation. You know one of the reasons I love vacation Bible school? Is I don't have to be the director. Linda, Jacob, where's Jay? I don't have to be the director. I get to do the fun part. I get to teach the kids. I'm going to tell you, there's no more. I'm going to tell you, you want some fun things? You go in there and sit down and teach the kids. I love Awana. I go in there and help Lisa with Awana. I'm going to tell you, these kids walked out of here Sunday night. Sunday night, the kids came back in Monday night quoting the scripture. If I asked you guys to quote me a scripture, you'd take all week and you'd come back next week and you still wouldn't. But the kids did it in one night. Go sit with those kids and I'm going to tell you, you want to get some enthusiasm? When I walk in that room, I had this big old red beard on and they just start laughing at me. There's just something. What about, God? God, yeah, I know. I know I should invite. God, I know I should pray more. God, God, I know I should read my Bible, but I'm just, Anybody know what I'm talking about? We lose that first love, and then we wonder where God is. That's kind of what David did, isn't it? Walking with God, trusting God, worshiping God, and then all of a sudden, in the comfort of his palace, man, life is good. You guys go out and take care of that. Woo, I like that down there. Hey, go get her for me. Anybody get in trouble? See, I want to check. How do we turn this around? Here's what happened to David. Let me tell you David's story. And this might be your story today. A prophet named Nathan. Nathan the prophet comes in and Nathan says, I got a message from you from God. Can I tell you this story, And Nathan was scared to face the king because, the king could say, off with your head. And David didn't have to do it himself. Somebody would do it for him then. And David walks in and Nathan walks in and says, hey, I've got a message for you. And Nathan's kind of scared about saying the message. He says, listen, king, there's a guy and he has 100 sheep. He's got plenty of sheep. He's got all these sheep. And he's got all these sheep. And then this other guy over here, he's got one. He's got one little sheep. And this king guy over here goes over and steals and takes that guy's sheep. Now, you're the king, David. What should happen to the guy who took that one sheep? David says, he should be put to death. Then Nathan looks at David and goes, you're the man. You're the one. You had all the comfort. You had all of it. And you took the one that wasn't yours. What did David do? You're dead man, Nathan. No. No. Write this down somewhere. Psalms 51. I'm going to read some of the passages. Because I think, what do? If you're here this morning and you're just kind of wrestling, this Christian life is not what I thought it was going to be. It's not where I thought I would be. You know, I'm not you what I used to be. I don't even know what it is. I'm not even sure if I want to be a Christian. You know, you're somewhere along this line. Listen to what David said here. And I'm going to just read three passages that I think highlight Psalms 51. Listen to what he says. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. It's like, God, I'm coming back. God, I'm coming back to where you're at. I'm returning, God. Have mercy on me. Your love is abounding, your grace, your mercy. God, I'm coming back. Have mercy on me. You know how to get back to God? You just come back to God. Do you see that picture? It's just, I'm back, God. God's going to sit there and say, prove it. No, he doesn't. All right? God has open arms. You look at the cross. His arms were what? Wide open. You need to come back to God. You want that enthusiasm? You want to enjoy life? You want an abundant life? You got to come back to God. Have mercy on me. Look at what it says next. Down in verse 10 of the 51st chapter of Psalms. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God, get me back on, man. God, I want to have that joy again. I want to have that excitement again. I want to have that enthusiasm again. I want to be filled with you again, God. Create in me, God. I want it back to where I was. God, I remember those days. I remember those excitements. I remember seeing your hand move in my life. I remember those answered prayers. I remember reading God's word and all of a sudden it spoke to me. I remember hearing those songs on the radio and it encouraged me because it was your word. I remember, God. God, create in me. Does that make sense? And then look again, one of my favorite, I like quoting all the time, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Psalms 51:12. When you get back, when you walk with God and you trust God and you worship God, there's a joy, there's an enthusiasm. So I want to challenge you this morning. And I want to encourage you this morning. You know, you walked in and it's hot out there and it's hard to be encouraged. You know, it's hard, the negative in our world, you know, jobs, children, life, health, finances, I don't know. We face all this stuff and we come into church and it's like, God, where are you? I want to tell you, God hasn't moved. The same God that sent his son to die on the cross is a God who wants to live in your life. But you got to trust him. Daily. You got to walk with him daily. And you got to worship him daily. I'm church Sunday. I can go Monday and do whatever I want, right? Matter of fact, Sunday afternoon, as long as I gave him an hour and a half on Sunday, the preacher was good. He should get it done in 20 minutes. We'd be better off, right? You know? No. God, I want to come back. See, there's two types of people. Listen, there's two types of people. I had a picture. Can I go back to those pictures, Evie? Can you get back to those pictures? There's a picture. See if you recognize this picture. It's a little, anybody recognize this guy? Anybody feel like that in life? Anybody? You're going to walk out like that today? I don't want you to. I don't want you walking out like that. You know, it's my daughter's favorite character. I wonder why. Yeah. How about this next character? Yeah. Eeyore, everything's wrong. Oh, poor me. In a ring, you know, lost my tail. Anybody? Yeah. Then you got Tigger. Boing, boing, boing. You know. That's how I want you to walk out today. Am I okay? I want you to walk out because you're filled with God. Not because Gary preached a great message. I'm going to tell you what, this message, you won't remember a thing about it halfway through the week. You won't. But if God fills you today, it will take you throughout the week. Anybody on board with that one? So that's my positive to you today. Can you stay positive? Yeah. Being filled with the Spirit. Just let God fill you. But in order for that to happen, sometimes we got to come back. You got to do your own 51st Psalms, okay? That's what I want to do. You got to do your own 51st Psalms. So I put it at the end. I got that little verse there at the end. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. and uphold me with your spirit. I want that for every one of you this morning. Can that be in you? Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you're a great and merciful God, that you're gracious, long-suffering. Just as David prayed in that 51st Psalms, Lord, we want to pray the same. Have mercy on us, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundance, blot out our transgressions. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you want me to pray for you. Maybe you haven't been walking with God like you should. Maybe you haven't been worshiping like you used to. Maybe you just haven't trusted him like you did at once. And you want me to pray for you. Would you shoot your hand up and say, pray for me as I fight this battle, as I live in this world. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who want to be filled with your spirit anew and afresh. Just as you opened the windows of heaven and poured out your spirit upon David, and it changed him as he read the 51st, as he shared the 51st Psalms. I bring these before you to open their hearts, that you may fill them afresh and anew, that you may touch them from above, Lord, and lift them up in the midst of their life. I don't know where their battles is. I don't know where their struggles are, Lord. That we want to run to you in the midst of the battle with enthusiasm. Let us not sit with apathy and just let life pass us by in the comforts of our life. But Lord, I come running to you with these into your presence, that you may restore unto them the joy of salvation, that you may renew in them a right heart and create in them a clean heart and fill them with enthusiasm as they walk out the door, that they cannot understand other than it's not the environment, it's not the heredity, it's the filling of the Holy Spirit that gives them the enthusiasm to face life. In Jesus' name, amen.